Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, so now I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home. That's done for the throne. No time to slow down. Soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, it's the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, rock of ages cleft for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Poor lost sinner will be crying for the home they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing. Rock of ages, clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me. Poor lost sinner will be crying for the home they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me.
It's the day of the Lord. That's when you'll see that the mountains fall on us. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get them ready for that day so they don't have to go through this hell that's coming. It was for this here thing, there's no point in living if it was for this here truth. If I won't know about the ministry of Brother Brent, Brother Jackson, and his closing days of time, there's no point in being alive. Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Are you building a home in heaven to live in when this life is over? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you building a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you building a home in heaven to live in when this life is o'er? Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, children, to keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How I long to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before. There's a
coming. We're not home yet. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. Exposing spiritual wickedness in high places. And we have to say like that, that Chuck Holt, you can listen to him. We listen to him every day pretty well, just to keep ourselves informed what's going on around the nations. And so the other day he just said, I'm going to talk today about President Trump. And if you don't like me talking about President Trump, you might as well just chill out. Just shut me down, because I'm going to talk about things you don't like me to talk about. So if you don't like it, just chill out. That's the way it is with us. We're going to talk about that spiritual wickedness and high places, because if we don't say it, it's not going to be said. So we just want to warn you, if you don't like what you're saying about these people in the pulpits, you just simply chill out. You know, just do like the ostrich. Just push your head in the sand and pretend nothing's going on, nothing's happening. But these are the people that, these spiritual wickedness, these people in the pulpit is what Jesus had to fight all his 3.5 years he was here. He said he came to destroy. That's Jesus right. came to destroy the works of the devil.
That's
well,
right.
What's the works of the devil? First thing he did, he came to tell his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there's just no way you can enter it. And he almost freaked out. He thought he was from some outer space somewhere. Huh. Who can be saved then if they're not? See, they had the people so deluded and so brainwashed to think that they're these holy people. It's the same thing today. That spirit is still around today. That spirit is well alive today. But it's changed a little bit of a color now. And now it's these people in the pulpit, these preachers, that Leonard from Delta, that Joe from Cyprus, that Arnold from Ikeda. These people are that same spirit that Jesus had to fight right to the very end. And he warned his disciples time and time again about that, the leaven of the Pharisees.
It says in 1 John 3:8, it says that people don't know why Jesus came. It says in 1 John 3:8, for this reason the Son of God was revealed, so that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And that's what we're saying. Before he can destroy him, he had to expose him. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. We're exposing them so that they can repent. They can realize, look at self, and see, well, maybe this is so. But what they do, they're doing like they're doing when they stone Steve, and they just got more mad or furious. They start throwing rocks at him and eventually kill him. That's what they would do with us. But we're just trying to help them out so that when that day comes, that day of judgment comes, they don't have to stand there wishing they would have done something about it. But anyway, like I say, if you don't like our conversation, just kind of chill out and miss out on all the goodies that we have. Heavenly Father, just stop for a moment and give you thanks for another day of life and the many things you do for the Lord.
want to just stop and worship your Lord, Spirit and Truth. Magnify your great name, Lord. Exalt you above all other gods, because there's none like you. Exalt you above all other religions, Lord. Back in the day, it says, you shall have no other God before me. And here again, you shall have no other religion before me. We got the only true religion that's meant for this hour, through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, the only true religion, really, that it is. And you told us not to have anything to do with these other foreign religions, these Hutterites, these Amish, all these different religions that have reared their head and try to just deceive people, keep them entertained with something that has absolutely no eternal value, Lord. We just pray to continue to allow us to say the things you put on our heart. We pray, Lord, you'll use us for your honor, for your glory, do with us as you see fit, because there's nothing else that has any value that can produce anything that has any value. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Oh, the judgment day is coming. It's just up the road here, just 2029. You'll see the 30 days, the day of the Lord. And that's what the Bible talks so much about. You can read it over in Isaiah, that it calls it the wrath of the Lamb. You've never seen the wrath of the Lamb. You've seen a little bit back in the days when he was here. He went into the temple with that cat of nine tails, and he upset the money changers and everything. He said, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've made a money business out of it. And same thing today. These colors, it's all about money. You can't get in there with the scripture, and if you do, all you put in the outs. It's just that simple. It's just a repeat, but here it is end time. The repeat is 10 times multiplied because of the tremendous deception, and because of Laodicea is lukewarm and increase of goods and have need of nothing. So all this thing that talks about back in Bible time, it's all multiplied times about 10,000 here and this end time, like I say, and these days of deception. And we're telling people exactly where the headquarters of it is. It's not the way it appears to be. When we say something about these tugs in the pulpit, they think we're out to try to destroy them. No, we're just exposing them so that they can repent and they can clean up their life and their act before it's too late. Because just a few years from now, you're going to bump right into it, like that song we keep singing. How does it go now? That the days that are numbered have passed by. You're going to bump right in because the days are, everything is numbered, everything is programmed, everything is back at before the foundation of the world. God made a blueprint and a contract, and now here everything is bumping right into that day of judgment. Everything is bumping right into the end time. We're just doing here our level best to try to warn people from what's coming and what's up the road. But you know, people don't like what they hear because they like this modern kind of Christianity thing, this modern preaching where everything is good, everything is hunky-dory. But we have a different commission from the Lord. We've been given a mandate to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And in that mandate that the Lord gave us, he gave us the time and hour we're living in. He woke me up one morning. I've said it over and over again, saying I'm coming soon. But with that came a lot of things as time went on. A lot of things came attached to that saying I'm coming soon thing. He's coming in my lifetime. And throughout my life, the Lord led us to the ministry of Brother Branham to shine more light on the day and hour that we're living in. Then he led us to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And without these two things, there's no point in even being alive. I wouldn't want to be alive on planet Earth because that's the only thing that has any value here in the closing days of time. Here in the church age of Laodicea, it's the only thing that's worth living for. It's the only thing that's worth listening to is the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, because they are that nucleus of people that God has sent to tell us exactly where we are in time. God give Brother Jackson the countdown his own. He let us know when he said 2,400 and a half, if the calendar is right. Well, we found out as we're moving on, and the Lord, when he said to me, saying, I'm coming, so he filled in the necessary things that we're going to know exactly, right to the day when God's going to once again restore Israel. Not the day of the rapture, because Nobody knows. Don't get it tangled up now. Oh, he says the rapture will come dead. And no, we're giving you the time and hour when the Lord is once again going to restore Israel. We then, once we know that, we know exactly when the day of the Lord comes. We call it back in the book of Revelation. Everything is spelled out right to the T. Right to the T from the midnight cry. If you know when that midnight cry was, February 28, 1963, you know the rest of it. It's just simple math. And then you go, you know exactly when the grace age ends, October the 15th, 2021, and then you can do the math. That's 1,260 days. Then once that expires, then it's 7 years from there, and from the October the 15th, 2021, and then that day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day of the wrath of the Lamb, like I said, Isaiah talks about it, that his lips will quiver. And we're not trying to fearmonger people. We're just trying to warn them what's coming up the road via the Scripture. You're just going to bump right into it, just like the Scripture says. That's what we want to talk about. But first, we got to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We want to expose that spiritual wickedness in high places. What's spiritual wickedness? It's a guy in the pulpit. What's wicked about him? Most of them are pedophiles if the truth came out, but they're trying to hide behind that cloak of religion. Now, just like the Pharisees did back in their day. They were wondering why his disciples don't wash their hand before they eat. Well, Jesus went and told them, yeah, you wash the outside of the cup, but inside you forget about the inside. That's the way it is with you guys. You can go read it. Everything that we say here is absolutely 100% true. But it's not a very important, it's not a very attractive message what we're saying here, because we got a tough road to. We have to expose that stuff. We don't hate the people. We just know that if they don't repent, they're going to go out to hell and that.
Mm-hmm. And if you would translate yourself back to the hour of when Jesus was here back in 33 A.D., you would walk the streets of Jerusalem, and you would there would be the elders there, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the religious sect there. And those are the people that the people looked up to. And they were literally worshiping the ground they walked on. Mm-hmm. That's how much they paid attention to what these people said. And there comes Jesus along. Now, people in this day and age, they just think about Jesus as going around healing the sick and these things. And when they call it the book of love. Now, when you go back to the days of Jesus, you would be walking those streets of Jerusalem, and there was Jesus, and a lone figure, exposing those very people that these people, the society, in that society back in 33 AD, was looking up to. They were looking up to those priests, those scribes, those elders, and they thought they had the everything of God under wraps. They mm-hmm. really thought these people are the answer to all their problems. Mm-hmm. And there comes Jesus along, and he exposes them, and he tells them that Isaiah prophesied them of them back in Isaiah's days, and that was many years before. 500, 600 years, 700 years before the time when Jesus was there. And he said, Isaiah prophesied of you accurately. He said that your hearts are far from God. Mm-hmm. Your lips say all kinds of nice things, but your hearts are far from what God actually requires. Mm-hmm. And when we say these things about now, you come back now here in our hour. I had just translated you back in Jesus' hour to put you into that society realm. Now, we're back here in our day. We're here in 2025. And you look, who are the religious leaders in our day now?
Mm-hmm.
And you can take whatever Jesus said there in, let's say, Mark 7. And there's also in, you can read it in Matthew 23, I believe. And then you can read those chapters over and you put it to these religious leaders of our day and hour. You can put it to that Leonard from Delta. He confesses all kinds of things, but their hearts are actually so far from what God has for this day and hour that you would actually be shocked if you would actually know how far these people are from the will of God.
We had an interesting episode happen this week. I don't hardly ever... I'm out in my front lawn here, maybe 10 minutes out of the year, I'd see almost, except when I'm cutting the grass. But so here out there, you were up there cleaning that sign out, that lighthouse, and I was holding the ladder. And here, like I say, I don't spend that much time out in the family yard. And here, lo and behold, this couple seeing us here, like a miracle in itself. Only a God in heaven could do that. Now I'm outside there, like I say, maybe 10 minutes out of the year when we, only once a year when we clean that sign out, not even that. And here I was right out in the front yard, and that lady, she recognized me. Oh, let's stop in here and talk to Sam a bit. That's Sam out here. Well, how many times of the year am I out there? So you could take that as a, I call it a miracle. I call it an appointment with the God of heaven. Allow me to be out there just at that time when these two people, they were driving through here, and then they turn around and they talk. We talked for a while and it was a connection from heaven. If you can see it as such, we see it as such, and then we try to glean something out of it. And they got, like we talked about, I think yesterday, they got this program where they're helping these alcoholics and stuff like that, and these people that are contaminated, they got the drinking addiction, and they have a plan that they can get them off the alcohol, and they got a 80% success rating, and they're really into it. I have to admire that part. But then she said something that Leonard and that like I said it yesterday, but I'm just bringing it in now. That Leonard and that Arnold from McKay, they approve of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then I thought, once they left, I thought to myself, oh wow, they approved that. They approved their thing, their program, but they would never approve our program because, see, but they're not exposing the spiritual wickedness in high place. They're not exposing that scribe and that Pharisee and that zealot and all that. So, of course, they'll go along with it. But I tell you what, they will not approve of our program because we're exposing them. We're taking off the wraps, and they think to us exactly what back in the days of Jesus when his family came and they wanted to rein Jesus in because the scribe and the Pharisees, they were on them. They told them, you better rein that guy in, he's crazy. And sure enough, they went down and the disciples said, your family is out there. They want to talk to you. And Jesus already knew what they're after. You know exactly what they're trying to get them. Mm-hmm. That the scribes and the Pharisees put them up to it to rein this guy in because he's crazy. And they believed him. And that's the same thing today. They tell my family I'm crazy. In fact, when back in the day, they tried to get my wife to sign a document thing to the mental home. That's how convinced they are. The same spirit today. We're fighting that same spirit today. But today it's got us, got a different set of clothes on, a different color hair, they dye their hair, and it makes it appear like it's something new. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing new under the sun, just like back in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. What was before happened sometime in the past. Even in a different civilization it happened. And we're just here, we're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. We're exposing that spiritual wickedness in high place. And who is it? It's religion. Just like it's always been. Religion is the opposite of Christianity. Don't let yourself be fooled when that guy comes along with a long coat and a long beard and a black hat and all his outward appearance. They're still over in Israel. We were over in Israel a few years ago, and sure enough, there they stand in the corners just like they were back in the days of Jesus, and they stand in the corner with a Bible and they're pretending they're reading. And when I looked at their book, it was very small print. They can't even, the print was so small they can't even read it. But there they stand, pretending they're this holy people with their head and their curly locks and all that, the outer appearance kind of thing. And here we are, just two lonely pilgrims. Well, not lonely, just two pilgrims. Just traveling along, exposing the unfruitful earth to darkness, telling people who these zealots are in our hour. And believe you me, a lot of them, if you don't have this truth in you, because you're going to happen exactly what the Bible says. If God would not have given us a truth, we would all have evolved into sodomites. That's exactly what the Bible says. I just read it yesterday. And if God would not have given us this truth, and if you're not in this here truth, you will eventually evolve into a pedophile and all kinds of filthy things that comes out of the flesh. I just read it yesterday about Galatians here, the deeds of the flesh. That's what you evolve in. That's why you have these alcohol problems, because you don't have the proper faith. You don't have that faith that will clean you up, and then you will have to bring in these two guys' program. Like I say, it looks like they got 80% success rate with getting people out of alcohol, but then something else will have to fill that void. Then they'll get involved with some other addiction. That's the way it is. The only thing that helps you is to have the truth for your day, and then somehow out of your belly will come flowing rivers of living water. You won't need no pills to get you out of alcohol, no program like that. You just put your trust in the Word of God, and the Lord will see to it that He will clean you up Himself. Just like back in the day, I used to smoke, and one day the Lord came by and took that smoking away. I used to drink a little bit of alcohol, not like as much as many do. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I took an alcohol. I took some hard liquor, and then the Lord overnight came by. I went to Alberta with my brother, and on the way up, first thing he does, the first liquor commission he finds, he stops in and buys himself a Mickey. Just the hot ride roller coaster that these people are on. And then up there, once I was up there, I went to a prayer meeting with some people up there, and after that, I couldn't drink no more alcohol. The Lord just took it away overnight, and just like a lickety split, you know. And then on the way home, we stopped at Medicine Hat, and guess where he went? Stopped me over at the liquor commission. He goes in, buys a Mickey, then he pours himself a drink, hands it over to me, and says, "No, I'm off that roller coaster. I don't drink anymore." And so here he is by himself, taking a drink. Usually we'd both have a drink, and we'd get to talk, and then talk, and you know how alcohol does. It kind of loses your tongue, and you talk about things many times that you ought not to talk about. But right there, cold turkey. The Lord just took it away. I just went to a prayer meeting, and somehow the Lord can reach down and took that alcohol craze away from me, and I couldn't drink no hard liquor anymore after that. Sometimes I might have a beer or something, but that's about as far as I can go, or maybe a little bit of wine. But the Lord took that alcohol completely away from me. I didn't have to go to there. To the program, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The Lord can do that if you just put your trust in Him. And just mm-hmm. overnight, just in a lickety split.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, alcohol, I guess, never was my thing, but there are people that actually suffer from alcohol. Like, we know this girl that she used to be an alcoholic. Now she, up until a couple of years ago, she was like a hardcore alcoholic. And it's hard for me to comprehend that. But I know addictions are real, that the devil has ways to put people in bondage, and everything that has control over you is bondage. And that's why those religious leaders, they're intoxicated with the religious intoxication. Like
addiction.
This is an addiction of alcohol, but there's also an addiction to religion. Mm-hmm. That you're so entrenched with that religious spirit that you cannot see the signs of the time. And Jesus and warned everything about religion. He said, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, that religion prevents you from entering into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why a lot of people can't understand what we're saying. It's because that religious spirit has made them drunk. Just like they were drunk with the wine of her fornication. That is with that religious apparatus. And it's a very deadly spirit. It's because it prevents you from really walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to expose it so people can really see with their eyes and know what that religion can do to people. They can be so insensitive to the things of God that they will not even understand when the Lord deals with somebody, that they're totally so insensitive that they cannot recognize that God is dealing with this person. I should really try to be sensitive here, what this guy has to say, because God's trying to tell me something. But that religion can really intoxicate you, that it can prevent you. That's why Jesus said that, that you cannot, no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven, because it prevents you from getting to know God and His ways.
He talks about your traditions,
mm-hmm.
and your all that stuff is keeping the people from the truth. Your traditions and your thing is more important to them than the true Christianity.
That's right. It has made the word of God of no effect. It has made the word of God is not important as long as you follow the traditions of the elders. And that's what's going to get you to heaven. And that's how they have deceived the Hutterites. If they live in that commune and listen to these preachers, then they
everything is good.
Mm-hmm. But the word of God is what we need to line ourselves up with, because it is the righteousness, the word of God, that will get us to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Their tradition, they don't do nothing for the soul. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, once everything that shaking is going, the shaking of all things, there's only going to be one thing that's, and that's the truth for your day. And then eventually the Lord says, He will send a hunger and a thirst, for the true and the living word of God. And this is the only place here where you will find the truth for your day and hour. And it's the only thing that's worth living for. It's the only thing that's worth listening to. And if you like, if you don't like what we're saying, well, I see. Just chill out, you know. Go listen to CNN or go listen to John Hagee or these entertainers out there. Then you'll be, you'll think you'll be well fed. But it's just entertainment. It's just, mm-hmm. This is the only thing that's left. This is the only two people that were sent, and the church age will lead us here to tell the world where we are in time and what is going on out there. And it's Brother Branham, the minister of Brother Branham, they're taking the reps off to do what? To expose the Son of Man. When like the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, and so shall it be when the Son of Man is being revealed. Brother Branham and Brother Jackson simply come in the last 80 years to reveal the Son of Man, and all our effort and all our energy and all everything that we say and do is simply to do one thing, to hold on to the things that these two people taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's our mission. That's what the commission that God gave you personally, spoken to your spirit when you asked, why did He put us together? Ever since He put us together, we've been nothing but persecuted. And the Lord spoke right out into your spirit to preserve this truth. Mm-hmm. That's our job, and that's all we're doing. And it's the only thing that we're listening to. You can go somewhere else if you want, but you ain't going to get, they won't tell you nothing. They'll
mm-hmm.
just over and over mm-hmm. take you round and round in the wilderness. At the end of the day, you got nothing.
That's right. And Brother Branham, he really exposed the denominational churches. When you will listen to him, he really exposed what these denomination churches are really about and where they originate from, and he even brought it in their synagogues of Satan.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Revelation calls them. Well, you will read in the church age of Smyrna and in the church age of Philadelphia, it will say synagogues of Satan. And that's what it evolves into, because they no longer move with the spirit of the living God, and then they organize and they become synagogues. And that's what Brother Brenham did. He exposed the unfruitful works of darkness too. And Brother Jackson as well. And you can read Paul's epistles, you can read what Peter wrote, and they really went after these preachers, because these deceivers were back in the early church too. They came out too. But these apostles, they were not ignorant to Satan's cunningly crafty devices. And it's still used today. Satan uses still these religious leaders, cunning, crafty devices that they use to ensnare people.
Crafty, cunning device fables. Mm-hmm. And see, they said, we're not ignorant what they're doing, when the devil sent them these antichrists. And bit by bit, they just kind of kept on working, unrelenting. And by the time 325 rolled around, they tried to hide. There was no sign of the early church anymore. Mm-hmm. It was Satan that managed to completely wipe it out. And what did he, what was he after? He was after the foundation of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by repenting and by being baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 325 A.D., Satan had colluded everything already, watered it down, and here comes at Nicaea, Rome. Here comes Constantine, and he set a law. From now on, we're going to do our baptism, our diabolical, satanic, counterfeit baptism, the baptism by pouring or sprinkling without even repenting. And the name of the title is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not even a name, just a title. Mm-hmm. And here, for 2,000 years, the church world has gone down through the dark ages and all that stuff, and completely ignorant of what the foundation is of Christianity.
Right.
And here, at his end time, he said, God sent Martin Luther to stir that ship around. At the end of it all, Brother Brenham was the final chapter. And here he comes out, and he brings in all the churches of North America, around the world, representatives from all around the world, to tell them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they rejected him. And that's why you see the things in America today, because the churches of America had rejected the truth for their day, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I told these Utterite zealots and these scribes and these Pharisees of our day, what did they do? You got till sundown to get out of here. I still got the letter that I wrote them. And they read it there right in front of the congregation about God sending a prophet, about water baptism in Jesus' name. I said, that other baptism is not of God, it's of the devil. And like I say, they don't like to hear the truth. They're doing exactly what they did to Steve, stone. Well, they would have stoned me right there on the spot if the law of the land would allow them. So what did they do? Like I said the other day, they do the only thing they can do, what the law of the land allows. They take everything away from you. And going through all that, it's all good and well, because throughout all that, it got me to know the God of heaven, and it got me to know these zealots are, these scribes and these Pharisees, how rotten and how corrupt they are. Today we can expose them. That's what we're doing. We're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. We're exposing spiritual wickedness, I think, because we qualify to do that. We've been through their torture chambers, and we know exactly what we're talking about. And like I say, if you don't like what we're saying, well, that's your problem, not ours. We're telling people the truth. Because just up the road here, just a few years from now, there's going to be that day of the Lord. And they're going to have to answer it. And if they haven't repented by that, they'll have to say to the rocks fall on us and to the mountains cover us. From the hem that comes, the wrath of the Lamb, believe you me, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly when it's going to happen. I can tell you exactly the day when the day of the Lord will kick in. And because we have been trained, we've been in that Bible all our life. We know what you're talking about. We know that God sent the prophet.
That's right.
We know that Malachi 4 prophet. We know that God sent that chief apostle, Raven and Jackson. We know exactly what they taught us. We've been in this year now for ever since about 95, when the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother ran him, and then I was there for 2-3 years. Then he led me to the ministry of Brother Jacks, and I've been saturating myself with their information. Now the Lord has tested us, found us faithful and true to deliver the meat in due season, to deliver the things we're delivering. We don't like to talk about these people, but we have to do it to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, to expose spiritual wickedness in high places, and to let people know the hour and time we're living in. Just that simple. And it's the only thing that's worth listening to. Anything out there that it's not even worth, it's not even fit for a doctor. Mm-hmm. Because all it does, it keeps you away from the real thing, from the things that do matter. And that's just been our job. I think in the other, but for the last month or so, I go to bed at night and there is an excitement coming over me. I couldn't understand, why am I so excited? I couldn't wait till I wake up in the morning. There's something going on in the morning and I didn't know what it was. Until here, about 2 days ago, the Lord let me know the reason you're so excited, because what we're doing here every morning is we're doing exactly what the Lord wants us to do. We're about the Father's presence. We're doing the will of the Lord. That's why I get so excited when I fall, before I fall asleep at night, because I can't wait till we can have our conversation around the word of the Lord and tell the people all around the world what's going on, because it's the only thing that's worth listening to. That all that other stuff out there is just entertainment, and it doesn't do nothing for the inner man, you know. It does something for emotions, for the flesh, but it doesn't do nothing for your soul and your spirit. And then I found out why the Lord is, I get that excitement from the Lord, because we're about the Lord's business. We're not doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. We're doing exactly what the Lord created us to do, and that's our job here. Mm-hmm. To have you woke me up one morning, told me to do this here thing.
And we know how fast the devil can pervert. Just like he did in the garden, he perverted just the word. Did God surely? And then we know what he did with at the early church. All these deceivers came in, and by the time 325 AD came, that water baptism was totally changed into that diabolical Trinity baptism. And then the same thing when Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson passed off the scene. Men arose within the circle and came up with teaching that were anti-scripture. And that's how fast things can get perverted. And that's why God called us to keep a line on this word and to expose the unfruitful works of darkness and what the devil has been up to and what he's still around. God is still cunning, crafty. Ways of doing stuff, and that's why we keep exposing those things, because that is what we've been called to do, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Brother Jackson, he's barely buried, barely in the ground. Already Satan works in the mind of Jam Salad, the one that was supposed to preserve his truth, and he starts working on his mind. Now he comes out after a while, hitting. After 2 days, and all of a sudden he comes out, tells the people, we're in the third day. The third day is the millennium. We're not in the millennium yet. Before you could be in the third day, you got to have the week of Daniel. You can't jump over from day number two into the week of Daniel or into the third day. Like I say, first comes the 7 years of the week of Daniel, the restoration of all things, and then the third day sets in. And everybody believed them. They're still sitting down there like a lump of the log, like agreeing with him, you know. Even Brother Jackson's own children, sitting there allowing him to demolish everything that Brother Jackson ever taught. Well, I don't even listen to him anymore, because I can't. Sometimes I check in, see his title. But everything is so perverted, and it didn't take a year after Brother Jackson left the scene. And then the Lord looked down through time, and he honed us out, you and I, to hold a line on this truth, and that's what we're doing. That's our commission. That's the only job description we have. Hold the line of this truth. We got it easy compared to what they had. Man, they had to go all around the world and preach and everything. And all we have to do is sit here and just every morning, just make sure we hold the line of the truth on the things that we have been taught. And then the Lord adds to it, and he gives us the revelation of the midnight cry, after where we are in time. And once I got the revelation of where we are in time, I could put the rest stuff to puzzle together. I knew exactly when these 1,260 days begin, and I know exactly what it means. It means in the middle of the week, and then it switches into 42 months. And then when the 42 months are up, there you have the day of the Lord. A horrible day. A day of judgment. A day of the wrath of the Lamb. All that day. And all we're doing, we're trying to prevent people that they don't have to say to the rocks, follow them. That they don't have to say to the mountain, cover us from the wrath of the Lamb. And that's all we're doing. We're just trying to warn people. But, you know, chill out if you want. Go listen to John Hagee if you want. That's our job, and we're doing it, and we're good at what we're doing. And we're excited about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We love what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing else worth out there that's worth anything. Mm-hmm. God gives us a joy unspeakable, full of glory. And like I say, we, after a while, you get to liking it.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, give you thanks for another day of life, for everything you do for us, Lord, for allowing us to see this end time picture, Lord. And Lord, we just want to continue with what you have called us to do, Lord, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And it's real and it's out there, Lord, and we just want to help people to understand what all these traditions, what these religions do. They prevent you from entering into the kingdom of God, and we just want to help people to the best of our ability to help them understand, Lord, and to get to know you and serve you, the true and living God. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.